You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Okay, that was obviously an excellent team win for us. So happy for our players. You know, it's been a year through a lot of ups and downs. So just so gratifying to see these men get the victory today, because they damn well earned it. That's for sure. Minnesota, excellent football team, playing very well. You know, we knew this was going to be a slugfest coming in here. So you know, the run defense and going up against the run offense. It was definitely a battle. We have great respect for Dalvin Cook and what they bring to the table. So, we battled, had some in and out things there in the secondary, second half, but just love the fight of the defense. And offensively, you know, we did a good job of staying balanced. That was the goal coming in here. And special teams, I think, was pretty much a wash. It was a balance there. So, excellent team win. Feel very good about what we accomplished today. Obviously, we're coming off this win. It's going to be a quick turnaround for the Thanksgiving game against Washington. So, definitely took a big step in the right direction. The
only thing else I got to say is, how about them Cowboys?
How about them Cowboys, indeed?
Well, that was nice, wasn't it? The Cowboys getting back into the win column following the bye. And, you know, with this division, literally anything can happen. They looked like themselves. Andy Dalton looked like Andy Dalton. And, man, we'll have to see what happens after a short week against the Washington football team. Dallas might be in the lead in the NFC East, and then who knows what could happen from there. Welcome in to About Them Cowboys, where we will discuss it all. I'm Kent Garrison, producing, welcoming in the best of the best when it comes to covering America's team. And we've got a special panel for you for this episode to break down this game. And first, we're welcoming back to the show from the USA Today. You can follow her on Twitter at Jory Epstein. It's Jory Epstein. Hey, welcome back, Jory.
You bet. Thanks for having me on, guys. Happy to be here.
Awesome. Happy to have you. And we're also welcoming back, as always, the father of all things Dallas Cowboys here at The Athletic, Father John Machota, and your trusted host, Kevin KT Turner. KT, I remember our prediction episode a couple of days ago. I think, you know, John and I, maybe somebody else, had the Vikings scoring 28 points, nailed that part. What we didn't nail was the Cowboys rolling up in there with 31 points. I mean, that took me by surprise.
Yeah, I think the 14 was the highest point total we had for the Cowboys, all four of us, including Saad.
We really trust what we were seeing out there.
Well, look.
Hold up. No. I do trust what I'm seeing out there, and that's exactly why I picked that score.
Yeah.
Would you expect Donovan Wilson to get multiple takeaways? I use logic. I'm not a fan. I use logic. There's no reason that you would have predicted that game.
The evidence only suggested what we predicted.
Yeah. All right. Well, hey, if we're just going to go off that game, then I guess we got a Pro Bowl safety in Donovan Wilson. Let's just plan on that going forward.
He's their hitman, John, didn't you hear?
No, I've heard, but I just don't understand why. Like, and I see the beginning stages of it, but that doesn't mean that anybody that is using logic should have picked the Cowboys to win that game.
I don't know, man. I think now safety's taken care of and we don't have to address it ever. Just kidding. If in 2016 I told you guys that Dez Bryant would be a Raven, Jason Witten would be a Raider, Tom Brady would be a Buccaneer, that Ryan Tannehill and Phillip Rivers would be playing for the AFC South, that Andy Dalton would be leading the 3-7 Cowboys on Thanksgiving Day against the 3-7 Washington football team for what could be the division lead, what would you guys have said to me? Start with you, John.
Sure. I don't know. There's a lot of parity in the NFL. Anything's possible.
You would not have said that.
I would say
you're crazy.
Out of all those things, probably Dez Bryant with the Ravens would surprise me the most. The Andy Dalton thing's not that surprising just because he's from TCU. So I'd actually put like Dak suffering the injury that he did would be pretty high on that list. I just didn't think that that was a possibility. I mean, I could see him, you know, getting a minor injury, but not something that serious. So, I don't know. I still, what year did you say you'd ask this in?
2016.
Yeah, 2016. If you would have told me Jameis Winston wouldn't be on the Buccaneers, he would be the backup to Drew Brees. Drew Brees would fracture 11 ribs, and he wouldn't start over Taysom Hill. That would be my biggest surprise from 2016.
So we won, like, or the Cowboys won. I'd say we. The Cowboys won.
No, you won, KT. You won.
I mean, I won because I like chaos. Yeah, and I really hate when it's October and then into November and everyone's talking about next year. I hate that. I just, maybe that's the, my personality of, hey man, we're not guaranteed tomorrow. That's kind of the way I usually attack life. So now I sound like Jason Garrett.
Yeah, you take it day by day, KT. Take it day by day.
Yes. No, I had some great blueberries actually. And, but we're going to attack this podcast in all three phases. Okay. We know the Garrett stuff. I want to say this and get this off the top. I still don't think this is a good team, and I don't think really anyone does, right? Minnesota is awful, but I will say this. There was something that stood out to me. And it happened really what you found out the night before, or once you started getting the feeling that Zach Martin was going to move to right tackle. And I started going, okay, that's a positive sign. And I'm not saying that Connor McGovern is the difference, and I'm not saying any of that. But it's like, now they're making adjustments that they should have made a month ago. Why is this happening now? Does anyone have a feeling of why that happened? Because I felt better about the game once I found out that they were moving Zach Martin to right tackle.
Jory, you go first.
Well, I think a couple things. First of all, yeah, when they said that Zach Martin was going to be at right tackle, that Bradley and I and who's a Reggie Robinson weren't even active, I'm like, this is not a team that is starting. They were never going to try to lose, but they might have tried to play their developmental players to get them ready for 2021, and that is not what was going on yesterday, or that was not their primary focus. So, yeah, I think, first of all, I will never forget that Mike McCarthy told us that moving right guard Zach Martin to tackle was, quote, fantasy football nonsense. And apparently that's what it takes to win a game for the Dallas Cowboys in 2020. I will also say, yeah, I think that they just did several things that you're like, okay. I mean, I think from a timing standpoint, the bye week was a factor. I know there are people who are saying, did Steven and Jerry go in there and be like, hey, Mike, do we have our best five out there? Okay, why not? And I think that that is very plausible. So I think that McCarthy wanted to do things his way, but it is very clear after what we saw the run game do yesterday and the time that Andy had in the pocket that this is the offensive line you need to be going with over Terrence Steele and Zach Martin.
Yeah, and I don't buy any of the coaching staff excuses. Zach Martin, we've seen him mid-game move over to right tackle and do just fine. So try that with somebody else. Maybe that works. Maybe I'd believe it, but I don't buy any of that. Excuses on that are the same excuses of why did Don Terry Poe start for the first seven games? I mean, it just, they make zero sense. And so these will be brought up definitely when we wrap up the season and talk about decisions that just left us scratching our head. But Zach Martin should have been at right tackle as soon as they figured out that Lyle Collins was done for the season. I mean, it'd be one thing if you had, let's say you had Lyle or you had Tyron, and then you're just like, well, no, let's move Cam Irving over there. He's a veteran. I mean, he's whatever. He's not going to be that great. But you put an undrafted rookie free agent who, wait for it, didn't even play well when he was in those games, and you let him start for nine straight weeks over Zach Martin. And I don't know that Zach Martin is a Pro Bowl right tackle. He's probably pretty close. But I thought one of the biggest takeaways from that game were the fact that you never really heard about the offensive line at all. And the one sack that Andy Dalton did take was on him. You know, I mean, he even took blame for that. So, you know, this is the right decision. It should have been made a lot sooner, though.
You know, for me, I want to see what Connor McGovern has. And I understand that McCarthy and some of his staff may not have ties to that, but it's still Will McClay and Steven and Jerry who drafted Connor McGovern in the third round. You know, they owe it to find out what he is. So I think that was like important as well. And it always felt weird to me that we were going out of our way to find out what undrafted free agent Terrence Steele has and maybe almost ignoring what we might have with Connor McGovern. Now, that's neither here nor there. That's just my opinion. It doesn't matter. Let's talk about, you know, the running game, which appeared to be much improved yesterday. Obviously, the big Tony Pollard run stands out, but Zeke had his longest run of the year yesterday, had a little bit more burst yesterday. I'll say this, Minnesota's terrible, just a terrible run defense. And, you know, but there were holes there yesterday that haven't been there, whether that's the change of the offensive line, whether that's a bad Minnesota defense, it was there. And that's a positive sign going forward because they need that to work. Otherwise, Andy Dalton's not going to have a chance back there.
You know what I really liked about Zeke in that game is I like that he did get some big runs and he didn't do the feed me gesture because that's not time for that. You know, I mean, obviously many of people get annoyed by Jalen Smith doing the swipe after he misses five plays and then makes one okay one. I really thought that was interesting, and Zeke hasn't really been doing that. And I think it just shows that he's really locked in, that he's not looking at just like, oh, I had one big play, look at me. Like, he knows he's a bigger part of this offense. And I saw a very motivated Ezekiel Elliott in that game. And in fact, I thought that was Ezekiel Elliott's best game since week one. And I thought he started out in a similar way. And I'm sure we'll talk about this, but like, kudos to Kellen Moore for getting him involved early. I mean, just like the Rams game, that throw to the right, he got the touchdown, a play we have not seen at all this season. Such a smart, just a formation that was perfect because it had two tight ends out in front of him. So even if that play doesn't get a touchdown, it's going to get at least 4 or 5 yards. I really like that play call. And I just thought Zeke ran hard. You know, I mean, I think we should know by now he's not going to get the big runs that we saw his rookie year and even the year after that. But he was physical, and much in the way that you saw Dalvin Cook and how he's physical for Minnesota, that does set a tone, and that will take an impact going into the fourth quarter. And I just thought he started to wear out their defense, and then obviously, you know, Tony Pollard with the home run there. But yeah, I thought that was – I would put that as Zeke's second best game of the season behind the Rams game.
Yeah, I think he was definitely productive. Like John said, he was gashing them. And what was it? He had 2.6 yards per carry last year against this team. And then it was, I believe it was 4.9 last night. So he was ripping off like 10, 15 yards up the middle, sometimes finding these lanes. We talked to him about the role of Zach Martin in clearing those lanes. And he said, we just kept running behind Zach and he kept opening things up. And then it's funny, I know that Zeke posted to Instagram after the game and Dak commented on it. Yes, sir. Way to lead 21. And I do think Zeke was leading. And I think that Zeke has been one of the few consistent leaders on this team throughout the season. And Zeke was even happier for Tony Pollard when he had success than he was for himself. And that sets the tone for your team.
No, absolutely. What did you guys think of the quarterback play as a whole from Andy Dalton?
I thought he was pretty good. I mean, there's definitely two or three throws that could have been intercepted. The one that got intercepted, I thought that was a great play by Eric Kendricks. Mm-hmm. It still shouldn't have, I mean, it still was behind his receiver. But I believe the more time that they play together, the more, you know, on the same page that those guys are going to get. And he obviously hasn't been playing for the last few weeks. And so I guess the ones that it surprised me, or the one that impressed me most, was the fourth down throw to Amari Cooper. And even Eric Kendricks pointed that out after the game, how tough that throw is, because yeah, it's a 10 yard gain on paper, but that's like a 25 yard throw because he has to throw across the field. And really he had to hit that. I mean, the game's over if he doesn't. And that ball was right on Amari Cooper. Amari ran a good route. I did think it was interesting that he did it on Jeff Gladney, who is a TCU guy Andy Dalton's very familiar with. I saw that was like one of the first guys Andy Dalton went up to after the game. So you could tell that was the play the entire time. I thought that was a great throw. His three throws in a row to Amari Cooper right before half on the left side after the Jalen Smith fumble return that set him up for the field goal. I thought those were huge. And I'll be honest with you, he's not going to be remembered on this play, but CD Lamb's a freak show. But you still have to be good enough to put him in a position to make a freak show play. You know, like, I'm from Michigan, but on Saturdays, my favorite team is Florida State. My second favorite team is anybody who's playing Michigan. So I watch a lot of Michigan games. And Michigan started out this season with this quarterback, Joe Milton, and everybody was hyped about him. And then recently they've gone to this Cade McNamara, who has come off the bench, and he just gives his receivers a chance. And they're sometimes they're bad throws, but sometimes they're tough balls that gives his guys just a chance to make a play. And that's something Andy Dalton is going to do better than any Garrett Gilberts or Ben DiNucci's. And so you're going to have to take the good with the bad. There's going to be some bad throws, but he also is going to give his guys a lot more opportunities to make plays on the ball. And really, I thought he got so many guys involved, and that was big too, because they were just spreading the ball out and it was hard to just key on the one guy. But obviously his rapport with Amari Cooper just seems to be in the right place right now. And you saw that on Sunday.
Yeah, I think that's something we've seen a lot in recent years, is the Cowboys staying competitive in the games. Again, I'm speaking when Dak Prescott was still the quarterback. And really making a push and then not finishing the job. And so it was just refreshing to see this team finish the job. It was refreshing to see the key throws or the key runs at the end of the game be made, the defense actually getting that stop. And yeah, I think what John's saying, some of these little things that Andy did to just keep moving the chains, even if it is just those extra 3 points before halftime, which again, they should have been 6 or 7, but to have that in a game like this is key. And another one I'll say is in the fourth quarter, and I asked Andy about this after the game, and I thought it was funny, but the pass he technically threw to himself, which John had a great video on Twitter of, where it's just bouncing off all these guys. And on one hand, it was humorous, and Andy's joking, oh, yeah, I really got myself involved in the passing game. But something like that, the difference between turning the ball over and making that play, he really needed the instincts there when a lot was going on. And I think that some of that is what you get with the experience, which is why the coaches want Andy Dalton in there.
I think I've like lowered my expectations too, to like earlier in the year before Dak got hurt, it's like, man, the Cowboys have got to get a lead. And then get a lead. And then when it's like, if the Cowboys can just not be behind by a lot and the running game can be there to support everything, then they can keep the defensive line off of Andy Dalton. He did have a little time because they were running the ball a little bit. They were able to kind of, and the pass protection was pretty good. And quite frankly, Minnesota is not the pass defense that they've been over the last few years. And there are a couple things I was thinking about as it happened during the game was, while we know Andy Dalton is this like veteran who's been around for a long time, it's not like he's been playing, plus the concussion, plus COVID. Like, there's a few things that might make your head a little foggy, like everything together. Like, I'm not saying it's like a rookie mistake when Eric Kendricks makes a great play, but he kind of threw it behind Dalton Schultz. But that's the type of thing where maybe he sees that on film and it just clicks on Thursday or in 2 weeks against Baltimore or whatever. Those throws that may not happen again. It's not like he's been playing a lot. And I think that's like important to remember when you see him make a couple of mistakes. Now, I know there's a play at the end of the game where he nearly threw an interception when Dalton Schultz was coming in on the slant route. And I remember I was just like, run it, because I was trying to run clock at the time too. I didn't want to like score too fast, but I would have been happy with any score.
All right, hold on.
Why are they throwing it?
Hold on right there. Okay. Everything you're saying, you know what that really reminds me of? And that goes with the play too. It's really that interception that sealed that Patriots Super Bowl over the Seahawks when Russ threw it. That's what that play reminded me of, where he threw the inside. Everyone's like, they should have given it to Marshawn Lynch. And I think it was Malcolm Butler jumped that route. That's exactly what that reminded me of, you know? I mean, it wasn't a great ball. Andy shouldn't have thrown that. I think he knows that. And that would have been the game. But I still think he gives them a way better chance, and he gives all their weapons a better chance of being involved. And I've asked Amari Cooper this before, and he can say whatever he wants, but I just find it hard to believe that guys go out there when you're playing with like a second or third string quarterback, and you're just running hard route out there every single play, knowing I'm probably not getting the ball. You know, I'm just running. I'm going to just keep running. You got to get the ball every once in a while just to keep your energy up. Like, hey, I got to keep going. One of these are going to come my way. If you don't think that your quarterback can ever eventually get you one of those, then, you know, I just find it hard to believe psychologically that doesn't affect your play. And I just felt like all the receivers were dialed in. I mean, Michael Gallup got off to a shaky start. He had that one ball near the sideline that he should have caught. Probably would have got them more points early on. I think it was on third down. That was a huge drop right there. But I thought he battled back, and he made some big catches too. And obviously Dalton Schultz, and they're just, everybody was getting involved on offense. And so, like I said, a lot of that praise should go to Kellen Moore. I thought he called one of the best games as Cowboys offensive coordinator. But Andy Dalton deserves a lot of credit for spreading that ball around too.
How about that 2-point conversion call?
Oh, Kellen Moore's 2-point.
That Zeke toss. Oh my gosh, that was beautiful.
Kellen Moore's 2-point conversion calls all season have been pretty good. And I thought it was interesting that, so that play obviously worked and it was great. And that was flawless. So on the the play right before the Dalton Schultz game winner, they ran that same play again, but they ran it to the left side as opposed to the right. And so CD came in motion like that. And I just thought it was funny that Jonathan Vilma was like, why would they bring CD back over there like that? It's just going to bring another defender in the box. It's like, no, he was running that because the first one worked so well on that 2-point conversion. So they're back in the red zone. This is on the play right before the game winner to Dalton Schultz. And they run it to Zeke to the left. But instead of Zeke pitching it, Zeke just keeps it. And he didn't get a touchdown. Obviously, he got down to like the 1 or 2 yard line, whatever it was. But I just liked the way that they went both of them. It was refreshing to see plays that we have not seen run all season.
And I think when you look at Dalton Schultz's touchdown at the game for that game winner, sure, it might have been a blown coverage, and I don't know exactly what every Vikings defender's assignment was, but I think it speaks to the fact that, no, when you're getting Amari and Michael Gallup and Dalton Schultz and Ezekiel Elliott and Tony Pollard, I mean, too many guys, at some point, they're just trying to maximize their options, and so they cover these other guys tightly, and what do you know? Dalton's right there.
It's funny, Mike Zimmer's a defensive guy, and Mike Zimmer had no idea after the game even what happened on that. He did. Yeah. I mean, it was like one of his shortest answers he gave. He was like, I don't know. It was like a pick play or something. I'm just like, either he's not calling somebody out, which is probably the case, but I was like, probably. He had to have seen what happened there. You can't have a guy running wide open. Like, not only is he running wide open, but he's clapping. And that might not seem like much to you, but go watch some of these videos that they've posted on like the Cowboys Instagram accounts. Like these games when nobody's in the stands, like you can hear it like crystal clear, like when he's clapping. Like you wouldn't be able to hear that in a normal game, especially in Minnesota. The crowd would have been so loud down there, like on the 2 yard line, whatever it was. And he's clapping and you can hear it clear as day. Like you can hear everything that they say to each other. Like it's just really weird. It seems like it's almost like a practice. Now you don't hear that when you're watching TV, they have some of that crowd noise in there, but on the field, like some of that video from on the field, like it sounds just like as a practice and he's clapping and nobody's going over there near him. So obviously it was a blown coverage, but hey, great call by Kellen Moore. It was a perfect time for that play. And Dalton Schultz even said after the game that he was like, as soon as they called it, he knew that there was a good chance he was going to score on that play. So obviously, like I said about the CeeDee Lamb play earlier, These plays don't just come out of nowhere. A lot of these plays come from something that happened earlier in the game that they used to set up something that they can use later in the game. And I thought Kellen Moore did a great job with that throughout.
Oh, so also something that came from earlier in the year that they had picked up on tape from Minnesota. I mean, this game's about deception and misdirection. That's why I loved on the 4th-and-1 play where they handed it on just the jet sweep to CeeDee Lamb to get the first down. And this just will pay off a month from now when teams are watching on tape. And every time CeeDee Lamb's in motion, you have to consider the fact that he might get the ball. I mean, this is what San Francisco does so well when they're healthy. They don't really do it well with Nick Mullins as their quarterback, but like it's very, you're making it hard on defenses. And we complained about that for so many years. It feels like under Linehan, and I've been a little frustrated frustrated is probably not the word, but I always like perk up when like someone in the media or even fans are like kind of hard on Kellen Moore. I'm like, I don't really think Kellen Moore is even really a small part of any of the problems. Like Kellen Moore didn't fumble all these times earlier in the season to put you behind in some of these games. Like to me, over the span of 2 years, and we have to remember that he's still young and growing into this role, I think Kellen Moore's a pretty good play caller. And maybe it takes little wins like yesterday to fully realize that, but I've always kind of been on board with Kellen being the play caller. I was kind of nervous that when they hired Mike McCarthy, that Mike McCarthy would be the play caller. In fact, I was a little surprised because I know that's something Mike McCarthy likes to do. He even said it. I mean, he admitted that it's a little uncomfortable for him not calling plays. I think they've got their play caller moving forward and someone who I think Dak respects a lot too. So I think that's all important. I think it's very important to touch on the topic that Kellen had a good day calling plays. But let's be honest, CeeDee Lamb, good Lord. That is, you know, this is my whole thing. And I'm not somebody who's going to like scold you on how to be a fan. I want to be real honest here. I might do it if I'm trolling just a little bit, but like, man, it's really good that the Cowboys tanked for CeeDee Lamb last year. That's my problem with the tank crowd, right? It's my problem right now. Like it's all open and it's all happening. You didn't tank for CeeDee Lamb. He fell into your lap, and I understand what their argument is, and we don't have to go back and forth. I get it. We're all being rational. That guy is a monster, and it makes you go, man, they wouldn't have signed Amari Cooper if they knew that they were going to get CeeDee Lamb to fall into their laps. That catch is insane, but really, he was the catalyst. Outside of Zeke, he was the catalyst of the offense yesterday.
Yeah, I liked McCarthy saying after the game, he's like, I'm just so happy that CeeDee Lamb is a Cowboy and that we got him. I think that he knows that it was by no means a given that this team that really needed defensive help in the draft was going to spend that on a receiver. And yeah, I mean, you look at those angles, and we talked to CeeDee about this. It's not just that he was able to make the catch. He practices and would just grow up in his backyard, contorting his body in weird angles to be ready for a moment like that. And I think that's the kind of guy you want. And yeah, would they have re-signed Amari if they knew CeeDee was coming? Perhaps not. And they do have some outs after a couple of years with his contract. But I think that pairing CeeDee's natural gifts, which are outstanding, in his work ethic with Amari's mentorship really is an amazing combination.
Yeah, and I don't know what Caleb on Chaisson would really be doing. I know, obviously, you'd rather have him working into the rotation than maybe some of the other guys you have, but he certainly wouldn't be starting on this team. And so that would have been the guy if they didn't take CeeDee Lamb. And, you know, maybe over the long haul, maybe Caleb on Chaisson develops into like one of the league's best pass rushers. But I find it very hard to believe that you, or not hard to believe, I find it hard that anybody could be critical of the CeeDee Lamb pick, because here's the thing, like that catch and the way he's been playing and things like that, that's all great. But like, it's not like we've seen the whole book. Like there's so much more that he has to offer. Like we're just seeing him scratch the surface. I mean, the guy is a legitimate freak show who, as long as he has a decent quarterback, he's shown it doesn't even matter who it is. I mean, he literally clicks with whoever his quarterback is going back to his days at Oklahoma. And so, it's hard to be critical of that. It is funny though, KT, that you bring up the talking about being able to get him and not tanking. So last night I just got done writing, and KT, I saw, responded to one of my tweets, like, put up that poll again of asking fans. So on Wednesday, I put up a poll asking, what do you want the Cowboys to do the rest of the way? And so 6,700 people voted. 69% said lose and get the best pick. So 31% said try and win the NFC East. But literally, okay, so that's on Wednesday. Last night after the game, it was like almost a complete flip. 7,000 votes, and now it's 63% say try to win the NFC East, and only 37% say lose and get the best pick. So,
oh my God, come on, people.
People,
hey, be convicted. You know, that's what I'm saying. Just be convicted. You know, like,
you know,
pick a,
you know what I think helps is,
go with it.
You know, you said earlier in the show, and I think because of our backgrounds and the teams that we grew up watching, we've seen a lot of the Vikings. I think you're a little too critical on them. I don't think that they're a bad team. To be honest with you, I think their offense is really impressive. And I thought the Cowboys were pretty fortunate even to get two stops late against that offense, because it took a Justin Jefferson drop. He's a freak show. Adam Thielen, freak show. Dalvin Cook, freak show. Kyle Rudolph, still a pretty solid tight end. And Kirk Cousins played his ass off. I mean, he had over 300 yards passing, three touchdowns, a 140 QBR, I mean, or passer rating. He was good too. Their offense has weapons on it. And I knew that wasn't going to be an easy thing. And so the reason I'm saying is because that factors in. If they would have won 31-28 over the Giants or Washington, or maybe even the Eagles, I don't know that people feel this way, but the way that the Vikings have been playing lately, and to go up to Minnesota, even though I know fans weren't in the stands, to get that win against Mike Zimmer, who you know is going to have a pretty solid defense and they have offensive weapons, I think that also factors in. And then the other part is just the way they've played these last three games. It seems like, you know, they're building and the momentum's heading in the right direction for them, as opposed to if they just had one fluke game and they won.
Right. Mike McCarthy loves to say that teams need to be playing their best football in November and December. And he talks about the trend lines. And this team, even though they weren't winning the last two games, they're playing their best football of the season in November so far. And again, it's one of those things where you're like, are they a good team? No, they have not shown us enough to look like a good team, although yesterday was a step in the right direction. But even if you think that their quality of opponent wasn't very strong in Minnesota yesterday, okay, well, other than Baltimore, who has some of its own issues right now, they've got Washington, Cincinnati, San Francisco, Philly, and the Giants. No teams with winning records except for Baltimore, who's been in a slump lately to some degree. So if that's all it takes is to beat average opponents, they have a pretty decent chance, I think, at the division.
That's the whole thing. I had a quick phone conversation with our old buddy Brian Broaddus last night, who does the pre and post game. And I was like talking to him, and he was like, do you think this is a really good team? And I said, no, I don't think it's a good team, but look at everyone who they have to go up against. Like, not only who they have to play in their division, Cincinnati just lost their quarterback. We know San Francisco is just a mess right now with all of their injuries and everything they're facing. And it's like, when you look at what they have left compared to what the Eagles have left, who the Eagles have, I believe, the Seahawks. I think they have the Packers next week. Like, Eagles have some trouble. Well, I think Washington and Dallas on Thursday, quite frankly, is a coin flip to me right now. But, like, it's really not out of this world. And this is the whole thing. I mentioned this on one of last week's podcasts, and I apologize for our hardcore fans who are hearing this again.
I am the hardcore fan.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Well, like, comes, John, you said this and this today. He's like, I don't remember what I said.
Yeah. Here comes something you might have heard before. But look, last week on my radio show on 97.1 The Eagle, we have Travis Frederick on every Wednesday at 3 o'clock. He calls in. It's fun to hear Travis talk about this stuff because he's a little removed from it, but you can still ask him things. And I asked him about the 2015 season when Tony got hurt and they were just kind of out of it. It felt like, from a fan standpoint or just following the team, like, they don't have a chance to win the division. But mathematically, they always did. And he was talking about their mood going in was like, well, honestly, we would just look at the standings and see that we were one game out. So we never really came with their heads down. And that's how these players are going to be, you know. And maybe that took some getting rid of some people who maybe not totally, but a little bit to do with things. But, like, these guys all know that their division sucks. They all know the teams in their division suck, and they all think they are better than what their record shows. And that's where you go back to, what did you think about the team at the first of the year? And maybe a couple of those games when they were with Dak, maybe you reduce some turnovers and a couple things go your way. Maybe you do sneak out a couple games and things are a little different. It's kind of what you mentioned earlier, John. The parity of the league is so prominent that, yeah, being 3-7 can feel like you're 5-5 if a couple things go your way. This team does not look like a 5-5 team when you watch them week in and week out. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying there's enough there to see how they could go win out against a very weak schedule. Not win out, but they could go win games against a very weak schedule and make the playoffs and then not be surprised.
Yeah, and I'll be honest. I'll break down, okay, on both sides of the ball. If they were to stay healthy right now, their offense is good enough to, as long as they keep progressing with Andy Dalton as the quarterback, if you can keep that offensive line together and avoid any major injuries, keep those wide receivers out there, Zeke, Tony Pollard, and Andy Dalton continues to get on the same page with these receivers, I think you're on offense, you're good enough to beat good teams, okay? Special teams, I think you're pretty much there. I'd say they're probably middle of the pack. They don't need Tony Pollard taking balls 5 yards deep in the end zone out. Just go ahead and just take that, Tony. You're not going to be bringing that thing to the house. We don't need you starting out on the 10-yard line anymore. Those things matter. Go back and look at just how bad that drive was after that happened. Don't do that stuff. Who's breaking big tackles and getting big-time kickoff returns anymore in the NFL anyway? He's not that guy. Defense, though. It's really just on the back end. And if you had Trayvon Diggs healthy, you'd feel a lot better there. But there's just, I mean, anytime Minnesota went play action, any Cowboys fan that says that they weren't sitting there. Oh, I almost said something I shouldn't say. Don't even give me that. Don't even give me this, that you weren't terrified of what was about to happen. Obviously, to Justin Jefferson, 39-yard touchdown pass, that was one of them. But there were several plays where you're just sitting there, and because you're not watching, you can't see the entire field, you're just like, oh, man, when they go to the full camera, I know there's going to be somebody running wide open back. And a lot of times there were. That's pretty terrifying. So the back end, that scares you. Anthony Brown's got a rib injury. Cheetah was targeted quite often.
Yeah.
He didn't look great. So there's those issues there. But I will say, on defense, the front seven is getting better, particularly that defensive line. DeMarcus Lawrence has played some of his best ball these last few weeks. And so Alden Smith, at times you forget he's on the field, and then other times you're just like, damn, there's Alden Smith. That was a huge play there. He had that run stop late on the final drive, and Dalvin Cook to stop him for no gain. I mean, he'll make a play on you here and there. So, I mean, if you can bring along Randy Gregory and get some more out of him, like, I do think that the defensive line has improved quite a bit. The back end is the thing that scares me.
Yeah, I think the defensive line looks better. And I think that, and DeMarcus Lawrence's stat line wasn't bad, but I think that there were so many plays that I was like, DeMarcus was the game changer on that play. And then you look at the way that they recorded and I'm like, okay, no. Why are we giving that to Jalen? Why are we giving that to so-and-so? And yeah. I mean, DeMarcus tells us he's not concerned about sacks until he has a ring. That's what he said Wednesday. So I'm sure he's fine with whatever. And I give him credit. He was like praising Jalen afterwards for when Donovan Wilson forced that fumble of Dalvin Cook. It like bounces around. DeMarcus gets the ball, but he's not really in position to return it. So Jalen just like picks it up out of DeMarcus's hands and runs back 21 yards, which it was very funny. And I think there was a lot of irony for a lot of fans who were watching, but I will say that's key. And what you were saying, John, about some of these special teams and the returns, the field position is just so much better for the offense. And so I think they're not shooting themselves in the foot from the beginning, whether it's offense not turning the ball over or defense giving a little more help, and that makes a difference.
I can make an argument going against the Jalen Smith play, though, and that's that you guys aren't the 2000 Ravens. Like, you guys are not the John Gruden Buccaneers. Like, you came into that game with 7 takeaways. You know what? Go ahead and just fall on that one. Just be happy that you even got one. Like, you guys don't cause many. Like, and you can't tell me that coaches don't coach that too. I know that, you know, there's some teams, like I say, like, man, there was times where like Ray Lewis and Ed Reed, they would take that and they would turn that into something else. And, but with this Cowboys team, who, I mean, let's be real here. How surprised would you have been if while Jalen's running, he gets the ball knocked out of his hands and then the Vikings get the ball back? Like, go ahead and just fall on the ground. Even if you don't get points, just be happy that you got the takeaway. There was just parts of some of that stuff where, if they start building some momentum and they were getting 2-3 takeaways a game, like going forward, that's one thing. But this team, just be happy with what you have and just fall on the ball.
While we're on the topic of Jalen, so it's funny, the way that they've been doing these post-game availabilities when they're away is we talk to probably, what, like 4 or 5 players in McCarthy, and then the team will send us quotes from a handful more. And so Jalen was someone yesterday who Leighton was available to us, but not Jalen. So I'm reading these Jalen quotes after that they sent us on one of his lines. And it's funny. I kept being like, am I sure I got this right? But this is what they sent us is, it's a 1-game season each week. That's our focus. We're going to go 7-0. We got the Redskins next on Thanksgiving, looking forward to it. And it's like, what about 1-game season and we're going to go 7-0? Don't add up. And I kept being nervous. Like, I literally was dreaming about it, that I just like screwed up the quote. But no, that's what they gave us. And I had to take their word for it if they're not going to give them to us directly. So, I mean, I think it's interesting, but that from DeMarcus saying, don't get this twisted, we're a good team on Wednesday, to Jalen telling us yesterday, we're going to go 7-0. This defense, despite the fact that most of the day the Vikings had their way with them, particularly in the second half, they are not short on confidence.
Wait, so they sent a quote and didn't edit out the actual team name of the Washington football team?
Oh, yeah, that too. That was the other thing. It's funny you say that because I started to tweet it and then I deleted it, although I guess I just read it aloud. But, yeah, they kept that. They kept the 7. I mean, there's just a lot to unpack in, like, those 20 words.
That's a little half-ass. Please get the team name right.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The 7-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
No, they're not going 7-0.
are you sure?
Jalen said they were.
We did this exercise last week when we said, how many more games do you think they'll win? And I think I picked the most. I said they'll win 3 games. To go 5-11 and miss and not make the playoffs. But now, my God, dude, I'm sorry. Philadelphia, that is
bad.
Such a mess. And Washington, I mean, the Giants might be might have the best chance, which that sounds insane. I want to go back to something you said a minute ago, Jory, about flipping the field. You know, we were talking about field position. I meant to bring this up when we were talking about CeeDee Lamb. He had 2 punt returns that really did. You look like the punt return average year in and year out. It's very rarely more than like 3 yards, like the average punt return because of fair catches and things like that. Like, it's rarely a chance to make a play. That's another element to CeeDee Lamb that we really got to see on display yesterday when he was able to take a couple plays where they would have had the ball around the 20 or 25 yard line and they ended up having the ball at the 40. You have to have that. When you have a backup quarterback, that helps so much. And that's something I just wanted to go back and hit because, you know, we were talking about CeeDee Lamb earlier. That's another element that changes, you know, it changes a lot when Dak's out.
Yeah, and the thing about him that impressed me in that game, and he's done it throughout the season, but particularly in this game, is just how physical he was. Because it's hard to take a lot from what he did at Oklahoma and then translate it to the NFL. Because let's be honest, what they're doing on defense in the Big 12, that just stuff isn't going to work. I mean,
he was
He was open all the time. You look at some of those highlights of, I know there were multiple ones, sorry, Jory, but against Texas, where he would catch a short pass and he would just, like, a guy would just fling off of him and he would just turn it into like a 70-yard gain. And you're just like, that stuff just doesn't work in the NFL. We haven't seen that from him. I think some people thought he was just going to be breaking tackles right and left. And I mean, he's kind of like a thinner guy. I know he's trying to add weight, but to be as physical as he is, I mean, he is clearly fearless out there. And it's one thing to do that in the Big 12 or in high school. That's another to do that on Sundays against, you know, a physical team like that. I mean, I think Zeke said it after the game. I mean, he was going out against linebackers, D linemen, trying to like just run through guys. And that's big because it kind of goes back to the punt return thing too. Even though you don't take it to the house or maybe, you know, you only get 10 yards or something, maybe 5, like there are bigger things that come out of that. You're kind of setting the tone. And don't get me wrong. I do agree, Jory, to a certain extent that play could have been the same thing with the Jalen. I just, they get so few turnovers. That's the only reason why I'm just kind of like, just go ahead and fall on that one. Real quick. And this is going to be a forgotten play. But a play that stands out to me is that last throw from Kirk Cousins. Like, Xavier Woods, if you're not picking that off, I don't know if we're getting any interceptions out of the back. I don't know if you guys remember that, but like Xavier Woods turns and that ball is like thrown right to him by Kirk Cousins. Now, they quickly went away from the play because they were like, I think there's a flag on the field. And they're like, no, it's Adam Thielen's shoe. But like Xavier Woods, that ball is thrown right to him.
That sums up the broadcast right there.
The broadcast, that was another level. But like they're just like, they just don't have the defensive playmakers to take the ball away on a consistent basis. They have a few, but I'm just like, hey, if that ball's on the ground, go ahead and just fall on it.
Well, that's where the Donovan Wilson making an impact. I know we were talking about him earlier. Donovan Wilson has not shown that he can stay healthy, first of all. But the fact that he's making his presence felt, and that's what you're just kind of asking for someone to go make plays. It's so refreshing that Aldon Smith, right when he got here at the first of the year, and it looked like a bye week did some good for Aldon Smith because I thought Aldon Smith had a great game yesterday against the run. But like someone to come in and make plays, to be around, man, Donovan Wilson, that's huge. I'm not saying he deserves a starting spot next year, but like, thank you, someone in the secondary, for making a play. Thank you.
That forced fumble on Dalvin Cook is just so wild to me because like you have to be wired different than a normal human being because Like, you know, when you're about to put that down, that's not a wide receiver or like a thinner guy. Like,
right.
He knows when he's putting that hit on, like, I'm probably going to hurt myself a little bit on this too. And you could tell he was even slow to get up to put a lick like that on Dalvin Cook, who, you know, you could tell was like, I mean, they put a lot of big hits on Dalvin Cook. It was very, very evident throughout this game. The Leighton Vander Esch stop on the goal line, even though Dalvin Cook ended up scoring next play. Like, I mean, they were physical throughout this game to a level
that Leighton's nose.
Yeah, right. No, and that's the thing. Like, we haven't seen a lot of that. I don't know if it's because they came off the bye week. Like, let's see if that continues against Washington. But that was pretty refreshing. Like, you just watching that game, I thought from both sides, that was one of the most physical games that we've seen from the Cowboys in a while.
And it was refreshing to watch a physical game where, and again, I'm not sure all of the Vikings injury reports, and I guess for the Cowboys, cornerback Anthony Brown did re-aggravate a rib injury. But on balance, certainly for the Cowboys, and I think even for the Vikings, it was a physical game that didn't require people getting carted off. And we just have seen too many people getting carted off on the Cowboys all year, on the league yesterday with Joe Burrow. So I think that it's nice to be able to see, no, that people can play. Like, you can have that play like Donovan Wilson hitting Dalvin Cook and it be clean and textbook and not involve a major injury.
I mean, the hit Donovan Wilson had on Adam Thielen that put his helmet right on Adam Thielen's hand. Yeah. I thought Adam Thielen was going to be out for a while, and then obviously he comes back, has a great game, has that one-handed catch. But, like, that was a big play, too, right there. I thought for sure that Thielen was going to miss a few series and maybe be out for the game because, I mean, it was a direct hit, his helmet right on Thielen's hand. But, yeah, that's – I mean, we saw flashes of Donovan Wilson 2 years ago in preseason, but now there's been multiple games this season where you're like – you know what? I don't know how the rest of this year is going to go, but it definitely looks like they found somebody that on that back end. And that's the thing. Like, so you have Donovan Wilson back there going forward. You have Trayvon Diggs. Anthony Brown's under contract for another couple of years. So there still are two spots, I think, that need to be filled probably pretty early in the draft. They need another, you know, big time corner, and they need another safety. So there is hope. It's just what they have to work with right now going for the rest of the season without Trayvon Diggs. It kind of makes you wonder, you know, how often are they going to be able to keep teams under 30 points with teams throwing on them?
Yeah, dudes were running free yesterday. That's for sure. There's no doubt about it.
I mean, KT, how much can you have Rashard Robinson out there playing one-on-one single man on Adam Thielen?
Dude, they dodged a bullet there too. That's another way they could have lost the game is on that one. What is it going to take to get the correct R. Robinson active? I just need to know. They activated the wrong R. Robinson.
Okay, but look
Reggie
at what
is the guy.
When you look at their lineup, it's got to be difficult when you have, and John's heard me say this 1,000 times, you have Andy Dalton Schultz, Amari Cooper Rush. I mean, you're coming off Jason Garrett into Garrett Gilbert. So if they mess up the R. Robinson, like, they're working with a lot here. Cut them a little bit of slack.
No, I'll say this. How do we know that he isn't just completely lost in practice to where they're like, yeah,
because he's a good player, John.
He could make three solid plays, but then he also was in. I really felt like last year, that's why we didn't see much of Donovan Wilson, because I felt like there was probably plays like that in practice. Now here, this is how I can have an argument with myself. But we did also see them start Don Terry Poe for 7 games and Terrence Steele for 9. Yes. And they obviously saw them in practice. So it's very valid for you to ask that.
Well, that's why I was like, okay, great. If we don't see Donovan Wilson starting the rest of the season, that means that someone competed with him and it's a good thing. And then I remember Terrence Steele's on Terry Poe. And when my dad was asking me yesterday, he's like, did you know Donovan Wilson had this? And I'm like, I mean, in the 19 training camp, he was looking good. But then we went to Clinton Dix and Daryl Worley. So yeah, tough to say.
Looking for a little more of a known commodity, I guess. I would like to make Reggie Robinson my flex next week, McCarthy. There's some fantasy football nonsense for you.
No, Zach Martin.
And Zach Martin, for sure. You stay at right tackle. I just slot him in there. Got my right guard in McGovern. My flex is Reggie Robinson. Let him play. He's fine. I mean,
KT,
he might not
how
be,
would you,
but
how would you give? How would you give fantasy points to offensive linemen?
You get 3 points for a pancake.
Okay, 3 points for a pancake.
Minus 2 for a sack allowed. Run plays over 10 yards, you would get a half a point. You know, things like that.
Yeah, but what
But
if you're doing it on a run play, then you got to give that to, let's say, like a Terrence Steele on a play that he might have just gotten obliterated on, but things went well because they ran it the other direction. It'd be tough, man.
That would be tough. And that's why they don't let linemen play fantasy football.
It'll be tough, but you heard it here first. It will 100% happen.
It probably will.
Just look at the trajectory of just professional sports and how much people care about it. Like, who would be listening to a podcast like this in the 50s? You know what I'm saying? Like, we know so much more now than was ever known before, whether it be because of social media, because of just the access, things like that. Like, there's just so much stuff out there and how much people are addicted to fantasy sports. Like, there will be a time when they'll be like, well, we got to have these drafts be deeper. You know, we got to have offensive linemen be drafted too.
They're already working on a fantasy football vaccine because people are going to be too addicted to it. So lastly, so Dalton and Jory brought this up. We got
Andy Dalton Schultz here.
Yeah, Andy Dalton and Dalton
John's
Schultz.
John's naming his child that one.
Andy, no, it's Andy Dalton Schultz. It just works perfect, just like that.
Andy Dalton Schultz. So that was the first time in NFL history a quarterback with the last name completed a touchdown pass.
Who's looking that up, seriously?
NFL Research tweeted that out. I thought that was a missed opportunity for the Cowboys' fourth tight end, Danucci Smith, a couple weeks ago. No? You can't just make up fake players like that?
Not when there's so many good ones already on the team.
I thought it was a good joke.
Jory is really obsessed with this, believe me.
I've spent some time with it.
Do you know what any of the other completions were in NFL history with that combination? Because that was the first touchdown pass, correct?
Oh, yeah. Who are the other ones? No, this is fun.
Or who are some possible ones that could happen, I guess?
If Michael Irvin threw passes, that'd be helpful.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of quarterbacks with like last names that sound like first names.
Matt Ryan.
Do you know for a fact?
Wait, KT, you're going to ask this and you don't even know for sure? You're just going to throw something like this out here?
Yeah.
Oh, my Lord.
Matt Ryan.
Oh, there's a good one. Okay.
That's why I made the joke, Danucci Smith. Like,
okay, if Aaron Rodgers throws to a Roger, does that count?
No.
They went Rodgers to Rodgers, to Richard Rodgers, but yeah.
Right. Especially with the current quarterbacks, Richard I'm just not Rodgers, sure we've got a lot of receivers whose names start with Garoppolo and Tagovailoa.
Garoppolo is great.
Tom Brady.
Oh, yeah.
Ryan and Tom Brady. Drew Brees.
My dad used to tell us growing up, never trust a man with two first names.
Poor Brandon George. I think he's one of the most trustworthy people I know.
That's why you can't trust our producer, Kent Garrison.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's true. There's going to be some Turners out there. There has to be some people named Turner out there.
Oh, yeah.
There are, but no one likes them.
Okay.
Fair. Kyler Murray, right?
Yeah, that's a good
Russell Wilson. Kind of more of a dog name.
Oh, they did have Russell Wilson throw touchdown passes to Luke Wilson, but it's as close as they got.
Well, no, it's got to be the first name.
I understand this, KT. I'm just saying. You already said that Aaron Rodgers to Richard Rodgers.
Not Tannehill. Oh, Rivers. Rivers is now a popular first name, right?
Oh, is it?
Tony Romo's son, Rivers.
Have you been looking up baby names lately?
Yeah, how many receivers are named Rivers that are catching touchdowns or first down passes, whatever?
Rivers Cuomo. Philip Rivers goes to Rivers, for a man, Rivers Cuomo.
Noted Chargers receiver, Rivers Cuomo.
Okay, we should put this one to bed.
One more real quick. So how many games do you guys think that they're going to win now?
I told you 5.
Oh, you're not changing?
No. The Vikings are good.
Wait, hold on. Is that 5 and a tie? Are we going 5-9-1? Or is this a straight up 5-11?
5-9-2.
Based on what I saw yesterday, I'll add one more win to the thing. I think the ceiling is 6 now instead of 5.
I think they can get to 7.
Raise the roof. Let's go, John. 8. Make it 8, John.
Wow.
8-8, okay, John. Wow. Go.
Why would I stop there? Why wouldn't I go 9-7?
Okay, we're at the table. I think that they need to win this week for a lot of reasons. Like, I think they need the momentum and to be able to prove to us this week. But if they can win Thanksgiving, they're at 4. I'm not giving them the Ravens right now. But the Bengals without Joe Burrow, which they had a chance at. And Andy Dalton going back to Cincinnati. Give me 5. And then you've got Niners, Eagles, and Giants, and I think they can get two of those three.
I think they're going to be really motivated. Garoppolo.
The thing is, the Niners are so beat up, but I just think Kyle Shanahan's a better coach than you've got here. And so that's why I'm
really?
Not overly
you
optimistic.
Sure?
I know, I know. Hey, which of them has won a Super Bowl, John? That's what the Joneses go by.
We're not going to talk about that right now.
But I mean, if the Eagles do what they did yesterday and the Cowboys defense does what it did yesterday and they're playing at home, I mean, remember that 37-10 game here despite the last year, despite the fact that in Philly they couldn't do anything? I don't think seven's out of the question. I think that they need to win this week to get there, though.
I would say 7-9 is their ceiling. I think that's as good as they could possibly hope for.
So it's not that crazy after all.
No, it's crazy. It's not going to happen. But I'd say that is your best case ultimate. That's your top best case scenario. I don't see that happening. I personally think that they'll probably win 5. And then maybe if they stay fortunate injury-wise, maybe 6. But, I mean, and hey, 5 could get them the division. You know, I think 6 gives them a good chance too. And here, okay, so I think you're being crazy on the whole 7-9 thing. This is probably my crazy take, but again, it goes back to what I said earlier about the league of parity. Like, people are going to sit there and act like, okay, so they get to the playoffs and just an automatic loss. Do I think they're going to lose if they got to the playoffs? Yes, of course I think they're going to lose. But also, there's something to be said for going in there and you're just playing with house money. Like, you're not even supposed to be there. You get to play at home. Yeah. By that time, there should be a full house at AT&T Stadium on the trajectory that Jerry's going with fans. So I can't sit here and say that I would be. I mean, it's completely out of the question that they could beat a playoff team. I don't think that it'll happen, but there's just a lot of things that would be working in their favor. And the fact that, okay, so they go in there, everyone's expecting them to lose. Who's to say that they don't hang with a team? There's not many teams in the NFL that I look at. I'm just like, man, that team's just so. I mean, there's like Kansas City, you know. I guess. To a certain extent, I wouldn't expect them to beat New Orleans. I wouldn't expect them to beat Tampa or Seattle or Green Bay. But, you know, I don't know. If you tell me they get there, that means they have to have some good momentum because they won the division and they stacked up a couple of wins. But I just have seen a lot of people tweet that, like, oh, well, we're just going to get in the playoffs and lose. Like, I don't know. Like, how do you know? How do they finish the season? If they're rolling and they're playing well, like, you can't just assume that they're going to lose. Like, I just think that the parity is too great in this league.
Jory, thank you for joining us this week. We really appreciate it.
Oh, you bet. Thanks for having me, guys. It's been a pleasure.
Absolutely. Maybe we can do it again sometime towards the end of the season as we go on this playoff run. For Father John Machota, for our producer, Kent Garrison, I'm Kevin K.T. Turner, as we've got a busy week here on The Athletic. Everyone be safe, and we'll catch you next time on the next episode of About Them Cowboys.
Y'all stay corona-free, all right? And God bless.
Hey, football fans, this is Diana Rossini from The Athletic. Get the top stories in pro football snapped directly to your inbox with our latest NFL newsletter, Scoop City. Jacob Robinson and I will bring you the daily scoop of top NFL articles, posts, and podcasts every Monday to Friday. Sign up for free now at theathletic.com/scoop.